Congratulations. You did it. You downloaded our little podcast from Italy, and I couldn't be more grateful. Thank you so much. My name is Jason. Who are you on my left?
I'm Ashley. You
I wanted to start the podcast differently. I always start it the same way.
I know.
Thank you for downloading.
Hello. I know. I've got tears. I was cracking up because I was not expecting congratulations.
Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. Because of you guys, we really want to fire up these microphones and do it as often as we can, which in this time of year is about once a week. And in the summertime is once every 3 months.
Hardly ever.
Let me set it up before we get going. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley, on my left. We are sitting in our kitchen on a rainy Friday morning, the 24th of January. It is 9:15 in the morning. Traffic is... No, I'm just kidding.
Clear.
I'm going to choke. Talk.
It's this finally, it's got a little Seattle weather edge to it, I'd say. It's a kind of overcast, crappy, rainy day, cold, seasonably warm still, I'll say. And they're calling for snow. They called for snow today. Jason moved a bunch of wood. But odds are, if you move the wood, it will not snow.
That's why I moved it.
So, no snow now today, maybe in the middle of the night. And now they're calling for snow, copious amounts. Big headlines in 4 days, but I don't think that'll happen either.
I don't think that's 4 days is a little bit.
It's a long ways away.
This is the podcast from Italy. I don't know if I gave out the name. I know you make fun of me for setting it up. Podcast from Italy, and we got a lot of talk about today.
We got a lot to talk. We got a lot to walk. We do.
This is the second take of this podcast. The first one, Ashley talked into the side of the microphone, and Jason had a little spaz out. So we are
regrouped and a microphone in the right position.
Talking into the microphones, not into the side of them. So we're ready to go. Let's start it off.
Let's do it. So we have been busy. We've been doing these online cooking classes, and it's been awesome.
Tell me more.
Oh, all right. So our little farm and in cooking school out here, since we are closed in the winter.
I'm not aware of the name of that.
Oh, it's a beautiful place, really. It's in Tuscany.
No.
It's in Le Marche, and our place is called La Tavola Marche. And we've been doing these live online cooking classes, and I just wanted to give a general shout out to the podcast listeners for attending the classes. It's been really fun having you guys join in and hearing feedback and stuff. So last week we did a fish and salt crust and roasted butternut squash salad, which was delicious. Interesting to find out, fish is hard for a lot of people to find in Middle America or Myrica in small towns in Texas. Very interesting. I did not even think about that.
Well, you mean that if you didn't live by a body of water, that it would be hard to find fresh fish? I would assume so, especially on a Sunday too.
True, but like I said, I thought I don't know. You find strawberries in the middle of winter. Why can't you find fish in the, you know? I mean, if they're bringing stuff from Chile, why can't they bring it from the East Coast or the West Coast?
You would have to ask Mr. Supermarket. I have no idea, but I'm sorry. I have no idea. I don't know. But you're right. I didn't assume that it would be hard for people to find fresh fish.
Well, it just makes me think about that for upcoming menus. But the availability of things. For example, we're talking about doing rabbit in a few weeks. And I was talking to my sister about it. And she was saying that obviously she wouldn't be able to find it in a regular grocery store. She lives in Seattle. That she'd have to go to a specialty butcher or like Double D's, that butcher my uncle goes to.
Yeah, I don't. Rabbit's just not. Mm-hmm. But that dish you can do with chicken as
true,
well.
True, true. And when she heard that, she was like, oh, great. Obviously, that's easy. Until I could find rabbit, then at least I could make it with the chicken.
But rabbit's everywhere here.
That's what I was saying. That I start to take it for granted. We've been here for 6 years now that you get so used to seeing rabbit in.
And don't confuse rabbit with hare. Hare is dark meat, it's red meat, wild hare. Rabbit is white meat.
Oh, that's totally why someone different. Wrote, I don't eat red meat, and I thought, congrats. Like, why are you writing that?
Hair is red meat.
Yeah.
Think of like pork versus boar.
Interesting.
Same thing. Boar is red meat.
Pork interesting. I never thought about it like that. Yeah. All I know is those hares run freaking fast.
I try to run them over with my car every time they get
not possible.
It's not possible.
So what's this week's menu?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot.
Pasta alla
Verdure Grande. Okay.
Yeah.
We have four menus going right now for our cooking classes, so I wasn't sure what was coming up. We're doing pasta rossana or norcina, which is a really, I call it a sauce alma at the moment that you can make while you're waiting for the water to boil.
That's what your specialty sauces are, 5-minute sauces.
Special.
Well, no, I mean like.
Signature pasta primavera.
Exactly.
Well, I did attend the Olive Garden cooking school in Tuscany. So I'm pretty versed on all you can eat breadsticks.
You are hysterical.
I walk. No, that's because a lot of the sauces that they do are quick. That, you know, pasta's eaten every day. It's something that's
eaten all the time.
So apart, like most, you know, the ragus you have to cook and cook and cook slow. But for the most part, most of the everyday pasta sauces that people eat are 5-minute, 10-minute pasta sauces, mm-hmm. real quick.
And we're going to do also verdure gratinata.
Baked vegetables in the oven.
It will become
the staple. You will be, if you get into this one, you will be, oh, that's your dish. Like grandkids or the kids or whoever come over. When are you making the vegetables with the breadcrumbs?
We just start making it a few times a week, actually.
I've been making, well, we have all these, I have literally kilos and kilos and kilos of onions on the other side of that beautiful plastic tarp in the middle of our arch in our kitchen, and I have to use them. So
we have like a 300-year-old arch and in our kitchen and a plastic sheeting over
it. Oh, it's the hole of cold. You have to plug the hole of cold.
Oh my gosh. So
so that's going on next weekend, and then we're going to take 2 weeks off because it's the Super Bowl, and then we're busy the next weekend coming back and then we'll go the 2 weekends after that. Always
exactly
on a
in
Sunday.
February. And to be thinking, and if you guys want to send in your questions now, any questions you have related to knives?
Maintenance, care. Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing a little knives 101.
We'll be doing a little knife care maintenance and talking about
sharpening. Get your steel or your. So what should people,
I'm going to blow it all right here.
No. What should they get to prepare for that class? Like, would you say a diamond steel? Would you say one of those waterboard things?
Waterboard. That's what marketing us to terrorists.
Water stones.
No, just chill. Just get your questions together. Go into your knife block or your knife drawer and feel your knives. And if they're dull, start asking yourself, why am I spending money on knives that I can't
Should I go buy another knife?
Definitely. If all of them are, you should just throw them out. Just like when your car is out of gas, it's done. Or you just need to put more gas in it.
Remember when I did that with a watch?
What's that?
I was like, this watch is broken. And I took it off and I went to like slam it on the table and you were like.
Or it's just out of, or it's like, battery's
just
dead.
Just get a battery.
So hold on, throw out your new
So we've got a site for the online cooking classes, and it's live from italyonline.tumblr.com. So you can find all the details and recipes, menus, dates coming up.
Classes are $5 each. They last about an hour and a half-ish, somewhere in there, depending. And they focus more on technique. You can teach any monkey to make
you were going to say moron.
Yeah, I was going to say moron. You can teach any moron how to just replicate what you just did, but to learn the why. So I really want to teach you not what to make, but how to cook. None of these freaking TV shows teach anyone how to cook. They just teach them what to make.
Or open the can.
Well, that's some of them. It's like dump a bunch of crap together. But it's never, here's how to properly sear. Here's the reason why we cut it this way. Or here's how the acid and the oil, you know, work together in this dish. And you have to round it out with, you know, like really how to cook. Like the real nuts and bolts of what's going on. So you learn not only how to make the dish we're doing for that day, but you actually can apply that knowledge to other things, other dishes that you're going to do, because it's not that hard. I wish I could say that I'm a bridge builder cure cancer, but no, it's really not that hard. It's really, really simple. So I hope to see you guys this Sunday. We're doing two different sessions, and it's great. It's really fun.
1 p.m. And 4 p.m. East Coast time.
1 and 4 East Coast time, yeah.
Or 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific Coast.
They really don't say Pacific Coast. They just say
Pacific Standard. Sorry, Pacific Standard Time, PST. So that's what they call it.
Sounds like something you get. Okay, what do we got
next? But also, speaking of classes, we've been doing all the sausages, and I'm putting together a little series of videos, and the first one will be out today of the meat machine.
The meat machine. We just did our second 40-kilo round of salamis and sausages. Those got hung up last night.
We got a nice 80, near 100 kilos already hanging.
80-kilo hanging. My hands don't smell. My yeah.
When like, you make, what are you doing? Well, he starts sniffing his fingers
when
just
you,
now.
When you make sausages and salamis for usually a good almost a day after, your hands smell like white wine and pork. Mine don't this morning, but I went into the sala this morning and it does.
Oh,
smell
it
like,
sure does.
It smells like that in there.
We were rocking and rolling yesterday. We did good.
We got it all done really quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do we got? What else you got on your list?
You're just checking it off the list.
I'm rocking and rolling.
I know.
Today.
I didn't know you were in such a hurry. I was gonna say let's make some OJ. It's getting good.
Oh, nice segue. Sicilian blood orange season is here.
It's happening.
You have not had heaven on earth until you wake up and have a glass of freshly squeezed Sicilian blood orange juice.
Oh no,
it's freaking awesome. They're cheap. They're super cheap. I buy a case of them. How cheap, baby? €4 will get you a box. I don't even know how many kilos are in there. 5, 7?
Enough.
For like it's a week's worth of OJ for
us.
And I can't explain it.
It's good. It is delicious. It's sweet. It's tart. It's tangy. And it brightens your day.
It does. If you happen to see some Sicilian blood oranges at your local really expensive store, what someone called it something to this last week. It was really funny. Oh, Whole Paycheck.
What the hell
for
is
Whole
that?
Foods?
Oh,
I thought that was funny. I'm sure that's not very original.
I didn't get the joke. You're actually, for one of the upcoming classes, you're going to be doing fennel two ways and doing a blood orange or citrus and fennel salad.
Yes, two things that are very much in season and over the winter when not much is really around here is fennel, which no one ever knows what to cook with or how to cook it, and blood oranges. Delicious.
Delicious. So you'll teach people how to supreme too, huh?
How to peel a piece.
Is that
of
called
fruit.
Supreming?
It's called supreming. You cut out the sections or supreming.
Do you want to sing the supremes while you do it? That would be the cheesy stuff.
Oh,
we're a wristband. So I wanted to talk about some really exciting stuff happening, like Oscar nominations.
All right, I'm going to pour another cup of coffee.
Jason's like, why are you talking about this? I was writing some notes and I wrote Oscar noms. And he was like, why? Who cares about the Oscar nominations? And I said, just relax. I'm talking about Golden Globe winner, Oscar nominated foreign film called The Great Beauty. And it's a film about a journalist in Rome and the Rome's decadent social world. And it is by super famous Italian director Paolo Sorrentino, not to be confused with, is it Paul Sorrentino?
Yep.
Paulie Sorrentino, totally different guys. When I first was reading about this guy, I thought, oh, look, Paul Sorrentino calls himself Paolo Sorrentino in Italy, and he's directing films. And I kind of thought it was douchey. And then I realized, oh, no, it's actually an Italian in Italy, totally different guy. I thought he was trying to do one of those, like, I'll call myself the Italian version of the name in Italy. But really famous director who made another gorgeous film called Il Divo with the same actor who's nominated, also Tony Servillo. And they work well together. Again, just he makes these beautiful, lush films. We haven't watched it yet. I keep bringing it up to Jason.
Is that the Italian film you keep
Yes, I keep
to
saying,
watch?
Do you want to watch an Italian movie tonight? Let's watch this Italian movie. It's supposed to be just... Well, it's called The Great Beauty. It's supposed to be a gorgeous film.
I know. I've gotten back into The Wire again.
Deep in.
If you've never seen The Wire.
If
you've never seen The Wire, this has nothing to do with
nothing
Italy.
Nothing to do with Italy.
Nothing. But I have gotten back into The Wire. If you've never seen The Wire, it's an awesome series. I can highly, highly recommend
it. Highly recommend it. We have a lot of time in the winter to get deep into films, documentaries, things like that. And The Wire is a... Excellent source of draining a day.
Yeah.
you
don't
can just...
Hey, My driver's license expires in 6 days.
No worries.
No worries. I should be studying Italian.
No, but we're almost back into season two, so we got a lot of work to do.
I've gotten through almost a full season this week.
And if you are Wire fans, don't worry, no spoiler alerts on this podcast, but just to talk about The Wire for a little bit longer, if you are fans, know that how weird it is? Okay, we're so far out here, and we're so...
I gotta do this quick.
Yes. Okay, sorry. Check out the lead guy, Dominic West, or Idris Elba, whatever his name is.
So McNulty or Stringer.
Or Stringer Bell. Two hardcore guys from Baltimore. One's a thug, one's a cop. They're actually English actors, and it blows your freaking mind to hear them be like, oh, well, my daughter said, and it was absolutely charming. And then it's like these hardcore thugs.
I didn't believe
it.
We had to go on YouTube and YouTube them. And yeah, it sounds almost like they're doing fake British accents.
It totally does.
Think, no, those guys are American, right? No. Nope.
Speaking of fake British accents, we were given a series to watch called Zen from the BBC. Speaking of TV shows and stuff during the winter, and it's our neighbors were saying, oh, it's great. It's about Italian cop in Rome. And we thought, oh, wonderful. The guy looks Italian on the cover and the woman's name totally seems Italian. Great. This sounds wonderful. We didn't realize it was from the BBC. And we put it on and
Not that we have anything against them.
No, no, no. And of course we see BBC right away. And Jason was like, interesting that they're producing Italian television or what? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It was a British show set in Rome.
Supposedly Italians, but everyone had a different English accent. So this guy is from...
like Wales.
Wales, and one's from Scotland, and one's, you know...
Stratford.
Irish accent. It's like, oh man, this is the... I couldn't watch it.
No, it was so
really
weird.
Really distracting.
Well, I think that if we didn't live here, it wouldn't be as distracting. Before we moved to Italy, I loved that series Rome, even though it was like softcore. But it was, I thought it was interesting, and they all had
English accents,
and it didn't bother me then, and I thought, oh, this is so Italian and so foreign. Now that we're here, I'm like, what the hell is this? This is not Italian.
Why is he talking? Well, it's the British accent.
And it's the British slang to go with it. It was just confusing. So I don't know. If any of you guys out there have seen Zen and it's worth another go, let us know. But we pass.
All right. Let's write this ship. What else is going on?
Let's write this ship. Okay. So moving on from television and the Oscar nominations.
And the oranges.
Let's talk about what else is going on in the news.
Oh, in Italy?
Yeah.
Rough week for the Catholic Church here in Italy.
We got a Prager's nun.
Yeah,
a nun who doesn't know how she got pregnant.
Nun who went into labor, went to the hospital. This is in southern Italy this week. It was in the paper. Nun goes into the hospital complaining of stomach pains and spits out a kid. It's a miracle. Also,
we got a little, what else did we have? There was something with priests that was hysterical.
Yeah, hold on. I'm getting
He's
to
a
it.
Flasher, isn't he?
Yeah. Italian priest flashed himself at two girls this week in the northern Italian city of Savona. He's been hit with a €7,500 fine after exposing himself on a street to two young girls, allegedly while drunk. That's a really good one.
Rough week
for the Catholics.
Also, back in business.
Oh, Berlusconi's back.
The boss is back.
He
the boys
is back.
Are back in town. The boys are back in town. That's what I was saying. You wanted to say some dirty joke.
I wanted to say something totally inappropriate. But Berlusconi is back. He is teaming up with the PDL or the Democratic. We don't know.
Renzi.
Listen.
We just. Yeah, we know a few talking points.
We've
mentioned this before. Very, very uneducated and low on facts.
Yep. No research done for this at all, but Berlusconi has been plastered all over the front page of every newspaper in Italy this week as he's trying to get back into politics, and it looks like the PDL or the Democratic League. Whatever.
I don't even know. I just know it's the PDL, and I know he's apartment shopping in Rome, so he's back. He's back with a new fiancé. Beautiful golden bronzed tan and
slick back hair,
baby.
And ready to continue to rob. Yeah.
And speaking of robbing and embezzling from Italy, it looks like its citizens are doing a great job of it as well.
Oh my God. So there's...
Except the numbers seem to be a little skewed.
The numbers do seem to be...
New stats out that 12,000 Italians...
Hold on. Okay, so... the stats from 2012 just came out from the Guardia di Finanza, which is the finance police here in Italy. A total of 12,000, and this is what I love, how exact it is. A total of 12,726 people were found to be dodging their taxes in 2013, compared to 11,769 for suspected tax evasion in 2012. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see what else. So they are saying in a country of 76, 78 million people, a total of 12,726 people are dodging their taxes.
And they said that out of those 12,000, let's just call it 13,000. We'll be wild and round up, take a wild leap, that those 12,000 people owe $15 billion in taxes, and there's another $22.7 billion that are related to evaded taxes as well. These numbers don't make sense to me.
These numbers don't make sense. So
I believe they said that businesses continue to run in the black.
Yes. Hold on. The number of people paying absolutely no tax has gone down. They're saying 8,315 people paid no taxes at all last year.
Are those considered to be evaders? I don't get these numbers.
I don't either. How do they figure in a country of in the 70, let's call it 76, 78 million, that only 12,000, in a country that is known throughout the world for their love of tax evasion.
Totally. And the beauty in getting around it.
Getting around it, paying taxes and all that stuff Hold on, there was one more thing that that really made me.
We're
laugh.
Reading the local right now.
Yeah, the local. We are we just like the, it's interesting. It's,
we've brought it up before.
Yeah, we have Italian news in English, which we shouldn't be reading. We should be reading the Italian news in Italian.
Ooh,
damn, snap.
Burn.
And then there was one more.
Also, stay away from Alitalia.
Yeah, don't fly Alitalia. Alitalia just laid off another. They took a emergency loan from the Italian state 2 months ago, right before Christmas, and now they're cutting 1,900 jobs, a part of its restructuring plan. And it's not only was it the worst airline before this all happened; it continues to be the worst.
Our neighbors, their flight was canceled, and they had to take a bus. It was crazy.
Do not fly Alitalia. Do not fly Delta, operated by their partner Alitalia. If your ticket says Alitalia, have fear in your heart. Because
I hate to say it. It's true. I hate to say it.
It's the worst airline.
It was the same airline that, I think it was only a year ago that they painted their plane.
Alitalia runs the little commuter plane off the end of the runway at Rome Fiumicino. Last flight out of the night overnight paints the plane white so that no one knows that it's an Alitalia plane.
And they said, of course we would. This would be horrible press if we didn't, to have our insignia out there like
don't
that.
Fly Alitalia. Also, this week, 70 years ago, the 23rd of January, 1944, yesterday was the 70th anniversary of the accidental bombing by the Allies of our neighboring town of Urbana. January 23rd, 1944, at its primary objective, Perugia. They missed by quite a lot. Bombs dropped on target. 10 bombs were dropped on the city of Urbana. From a height of 12,370 feet, Urbana has been a terrific heavy bombardment. There was 250 civilian deaths, and because of it was on a Sunday right after church, so everyone was in the piazza. The city of Urbino, which is located close to Urbana, that's where they think they were trying to bomb, or Perugia. There's a lot of – we read the article in the paper yesterday. There's a lot of still mystery shrouding this bombing. But it was definitely not supposed to be dropped on Urbana, but they did, and they destroyed most of the city. So very interesting. I like World War II stuff. And as Ashley said one time when we were at a dinner party – no, I shouldn't tell this? No? Not good? No? Okay. I'm going to tell it anyway. We're at a dinner party talking about World War II history, and Ashley blurts out that she loves stories about the Holocaust.
Well, I think I should chime in about now. I like stories of survival. I did. It definitely was what I said. I love Holocaust stories. And it sounds horrible when I say that, but I mean it with the most endearing sincerity. And it's the individual stories of survival, or like this very interesting story to me that this wonderful little tiny town of Urbana would be accidentally bombed horribly, yet would still be so kind to Americans like us. And I think it's really interesting. We found a cool site with a bunch of the stats on the bombings in the area.
But I still, yes. And you don't like that I told that story? Well, super funny. And I will never stop telling that story. So happy anniversary to Urbana. 70 years ago yesterday got bombed. That's horrible. All right. Moving on.
So something else that we were reading on the local that we thought this would be a great thing to bring up in the podcast was Italian delicacies that foreigners find hard to stomach. And we thought this was kind of a fun one to go over. So let's go through a few of them.
Okay, here we go. This is directly from the local Italy's News in English. We have no affiliation with them whatsoever.
No, none at all.
Okay. The first one, Casu.
Unless they'd like to sponsor our podcast.
And then we will gladly mention them every single podcast. Okay, Casu Marzu, and this Sardinian sheep's milk cheese has an unusual ingredient, live maggots.
Ooh,
they start to eat the cheese, allowing it to decompose faster, and one slice of Casu Marzu may be home to thousands of maggots.
That's freaking disgusting.
It's declared illegal, but it is still enjoyed by Sardinians.
Okay, so would you eat it?
Yeah, I would. I'd try it. What's the difference between eating that and formaggio di falso that they bury in a pit and comes out looking like death?
Yeah, and it smells like it too, but at least there's nothing crawling inside.
Yeah, but if you take a piece of that cheese and put it under a microscope, I'm sure there's tons of stuff crawling everywhere.
Oh, God.
Okay.
This one's weird.
Fianziera. This 200-year-old dish, which is almost exclusive to Piedmont, contains a rooster's wattle, testicles, and coxcomb. The red thing on top of the rooster's head, cooked with a variety of vegetables.
What the hell is a rooster's wattle? I just thought it meant it's shimmy shake. It's got a little bit of pizzazz.
I don't know. That one's just...
That one's just like a country dish of some...
Chicken bits.
Chicken farmer.
I don't think that's that weird.
No.
Oh, this one sounds delicious. I would definitely eat this. Cieche? Fritte? Mm-hmm. Fried baby eels are popular as an appetizer. They are blind because they are so young, a few centimeters long and transparent in color. Eel is delicious. Fried baby eels would probably be super delicious.
I'll probably get a lot of slack for this, but when something's good, their babies normally taste better.
I like that. That was funny. All right. Loading up number four. Oh, this is actually not that weird at all. In fact, if you go to the market in Florence, there's always a cart with this that will have a line, like, you know, around the block sometimes.
Lampredotto.
Typical Florentine dish, a boiled cow's stomach. It's tripe. Served in a sandwich. It's got like a reddish gravy to it. It's good. I mean, I don't think this is a weird one at all.
But if there's numerous carts... The test is to go to the one with the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like when the porchetta truck.
Exactly.
There'll be three or four porchetta guys at like the market in Fano. There's only one with a line.
Exactly.
There's a reason. Oh, this one.
This one's not really up my alley.
This is pork blood cake. Waste not, want not. It's Tuscany. It's Tuscan with sugar, milk, and eggs to create this dessert.
I just don't like the consistency looks.
Yeah. Pudding.
I'm not a pudding fan, so that's why I'm not...
Not pudding, flan, like...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of flan, pudding, any of that. So it looks a little too gelatinous for me.
Okay, now this one's interesting. I don't know how to say it exactly, because there's a J in it, and there's no real J in Italian. So, paiata. It's an ancient Roman dish.
This is interesting.
Yeah, milk-fed calf's intestines are cooked without emptying them, so... The intestines still have the milk inside of them. During the cooking, the heat turns the partially digested milk inside them into a thick, cheese-like sauce. Once sliced, it can be served either on its own or as a pasta sauce. I'd try it. That doesn't sound
I would too, weird. Honestly. That one sounds really interesting. I love a good cheese. I don't know.
Some people are just curling up and just like...
Oh my God, some people are on their way to work in the morning.
Listen,
and
I just got done filling meat into the small intestines of animals. So
that's why I'm like, oh, and I was cleaning the intestines yesterday, making sure there's no poo left inside. So that's why this is good. Well, that's why I'm thinking cheese. If you get cheese inside, that sounds delicious.
I've actually had this. This next one's called Burista. It's a blood sausage from Siena with pig's head, lard, fresh pig's blood.
There's a lot of names
there's
for something like this.
There's a lot of this kind of stuff. Copa di testa is kind of similar. You boil the head, like all the bits, and then the gelatin from the head and stuff. Like, I know what you're probably sitting there thinking. Get to Italy and then sit in front of some guy while he's made it and he's really proud of it and he slices a piece off for you and it just looks like salami and you taste it and it's delicious. Who cares what it's made out of? It's
yeah,
good.
And also try being that same person and telling that guy, no, thank you. You can't do that.
No, you can't really do that.
That was so offensive. So you always have to try.
Listen,
so
they are really good. The Italians, especially the rural Italians, are really good at taking these kind of throwaway bits and turning them into something delicious. One of my favorite salamis is Fiocchiona. It's a fennel salami made with just all the end bits and crap. It's for the peasant Tuscans. And I don't know. The Tuscans usually put more. Listen, it's kind of this way. The more flavoring things in the salami, the more it's to hide the crappy meat. So, for instance, we use just salt, pepper, and white wine because we're using pork shoulder. Great, really good cut for salamis and sausages. Once you start using the more fat and more pieces that aren't as good, you have to put something in there to give it a little bit of flavor. So like with the fennel salami, they put the fennel seeds in the wild fennel and it's delicious, but it's not a great, it's not,
it's
really,
not a choice cut.
No, it's not made with the choice cuts.
And you also really love the liver sausage.
Liver sausage, delicious.
They just give you that at the butcher shop sometimes.
Yeah, I'll ask for a couple of the liver sausages made with liver. But this stuff is really good if you know how to do it. And, you know, liverwurst gets a bad rap. We were talking about that with Carolyn. If you know how to make these things, they're absolutely delicious. Just don't tell yourself it's liver or boiled pig's heads or whatever. It's good.
Yeah, and try it at a market, at a little small family where it's like you're looking at the guy who made it in front of you. Keep going. What else do we have on the list? Oh.
Okay, now, raw octopus. I wouldn't think this is weird at all. I love sushi. And
I have no problem with raw octopus, but this also says raw snails.
Who knows? You never tried it.
I don't know. We have snails all over out here. I do love snails in the fennel sauce and soaked in butter, but I think a humongous, it looks like a huge freaking slug. You're just going to like it raw? That looks, sounds disgusting.
What are you talking about? We went to lunch the other day and you were sucking sea snails out of their shells fast, like at a ridiculously disgusting pace. So why do you have a problem
with... Well, these snails are huge.
Big deal.
But raw?
Who cares? They're going to be in olive oil and lemon and salt and stuff.
I guess. I just think
you
it's going to be...
You eat sushi.
I know. I forget when I hear raw, I forget that it could still be raw, but like with...
acid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And raw octopus. I'd eat raw. I love octopus. That sounds great. So, all right, moving on. Number 9 of 10.
And what else do we have here?
Oh, squidding pasta.
This is from Venice.
Veneto, and this isn't weird at all. They take the ink sac from the squid and put it into the pasta and make it.
I think they just get to charge more money for it.
I think so, too. I've had it several times, and it has kind of a little bit of a fishy taste, but you can't tell if that's because normally it's served in a fish sauce.
I know. It looks cool.
It does look cool, especially if you do the black, you know, the black pasta just looks cool, but I don't really think it's really that weird at all. If you go to Veneto, you have to get it.
All right.
And the last one. Oh, well, Dried sacks of milt, or the technical term for tuna sperm, known as latume, are served with pasta in Sicily, where they are considered an aphrodisiac. There's also something called botarga, which is the dried egg sack of the mugine, which I do not know what that is in. I'll never be able to spell it.
No.
I'm thinking it's a sturgeon. Mugine. But well, I might be wrong.
What else would you... Oh, sorry.
But why... So this is the dried sacks, the dried sperm sack of a tuna. And then you grate it over pasta.
So, yeah, it's like the botarga. Caviar. It's like caviar. Like the botarga. Not a big deal.
No.
What would you add to this list? What do you think this list is missing?
What do I think this
Interesting
list?
Italian delicacies that foreigners find hard to stomach.
I don't know if it's a delicacy, but we went with Carlo and Gigi's house, and they did boiled veal tendons.
That was hard to stomach.
That was weird. That one was pretty weird.
However, they did also do... It sounds so gross, guys. I'm sorry. But it's absolutely delicious. Pig's brains and eggs.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
It sounds like, what are you... Why do you want me to throw up first thing in the morning? Seriously. And then if you have no idea what it is, you just think, these are the best, porkiest hint of sausage.
If I didn't tell you, you would think it's like foie gras. Yeah. Or just... It tastes fatty and eggy. It's
good. So good.
And they put... What they put a little bit of, like, I want to say rosemary on top.
Maybe. I don't even know. It's so delicious.
But that is something you only eat when you go to the
butcher.
Yeah, the pig farmer's house. You eat pork brains and eggs.
And that's the thing I love. I think we talked about it before, but the butcher Dario from... Penzano outside of Florence, that he's talked about in many of his mad symposiums and things, that he didn't eat bistecca fiorentina until he was 18, I think, maybe even older.
For his birthday.
He grew up in a butcher's family. So they were eating the blood sausage, the tendon salad, these things, the pig's brains and eggs. And I don't know. It's really interesting when you go to, like you said, Jay, a farmer or the butcher's house, because these are items not found on a menu. Oh, which brings us to another one that Gaggi forced us to have.
I don't remember the name of it because it's a Piobicese dialect. It's basically a stew of trachea, and it's a stew of lamb.
You had me at trachea.
And veal and lamb. No, was it lamb?
Lung? No, it's...
It was lamb, right?
Lamb. I think it's lamb and goat or...
Something, whatever. Lung, trachea, heart,
liver,
kidney, like all this stuff. In a brown kind of gravy.
Oh, keep going.
And we went out with Gaggi.
For your birthday?
For my birthday a couple of years ago. He's like, you got to order this. I'm just going to order it. He orders it. It comes, and it looks kind of like...
He plates it, passes around, yeah, plates it up to everyone.
Makes everyone, okay, try it. This, you know, here's what it is, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, all right. It's edible. Like, I don't want another bite of it. How come you didn't eat any of it?
Oh, I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, Gaggi won't eat it. He doesn't like it. He'll never touch it. But he made all of us sit there and freaking throw it down.
For me, it's the weird, like, consistency of some of the hard bits. Like, is it cartilage?
Well, here's
the
thing. I've had
trachea stuff.
We had it at that place. I didn't like it. We had it at another place, and it was delicious. Do you remember when...
Was that at the place Pozzuolo?
Maybe. We had it at another place where all it really tasted like was the bits of the bottom of, like, a pan when
yes.
you scrape up.
I was going to say it tasted like sage and, like, the fatty
garlic
bits.
And
yes.
fatty bits. And it was delicious.
That one was way better. Maybe even good on, like, a little crostini or something, but... Oh, God. I hate to knock the Piobicese, but that one was... That's a rough dish.
So there you go. There's 10 Italian delicacies foreigners find hard to stomach.
And a few extra thrown in by us.
If you're still with us, would you like to move on to the next topic?
Wow, you just keep us pushing on.
I got stuff to do today.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. We could give some shout-outs.
Save your shout-outs till the end.
All right. You want to answer some questions?
All right. Let's answer some questions. So we'll do a couple of listener questions. We get a lot of questions from you guys, which we really appreciate. Anytime you – please send in your question to info@latavolamarque.com or to ashley@latavolamarque.com. We love the questions. And what we do is we'll just throw them all into a folder, and once we get a good handful of them that we'll like, we'll answer them.
Yeah. We do. We really do appreciate it. All right. So let's see here. This one's coming in from Sarah. She says that how we talk about the booming garden all summer. What do we eat in the winter?
A lot.
We do. We get fat. But we've talked about getting fat. But what do we eat?
Okay. So there's not a lot. I mean, there's still stuff coming out of Sicily. Like, they'll grow in greenhouses. And They'll have
zucchini,
but none of it tastes really good. I mean, it looks good, but it doesn't have the same taste as obviously in season. What do we eat? I usually go like not cooking Italian food. So we'll cook.
That's
I'll do
true.
Like we'll take a run up to Bologna and go to like there's a Chinese grocery store up there, and I'll get like you know.
Oyster sauce.
Yeah, I'll get, you know, a bunch of stuff like that, and I'll try to make fakey Chinese food.
No, I love it.
But really, what is eaten a lot of? You're talking about things that people put up. So there's potatoes that are still put up, that are still good. We have our onions. We have cabbages. We have pumpkins that are still good. And just the food, the vegetables get less, and the food gets heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So polentas and pastas and burritos and cappellettis and... Now that Carnival is coming, you know, I've started seeing Carnival.
Oh, God, all the sweet desserts and the fried bits.
Super sweet desserts.
I really get a winter kick for bacala.
Salt cod, yeah. We eat fish more just because we can now because it's just us. But soon enough, if we don't get cold weather, very soon the wild greens will start popping up and you'll have the very first crack of spring, really, probably in a month. Right? The way it's going.
Right now you still see like that. Was it endive that looked so gorgeous that we got?
Yeah, there's endives popping up in the fields I've been seeing. We still have like in the garden that just, it'll survive the frost is wild lettuce or the hardy lettuces.
And the radicchio?
Well, it's a type of radicchio. Scarola. Escarole we have.
Oh, I love that.
The Endivia Ricci, the curly endive. It's just these big heads of curly endive. So that kind of stuff. It does. Listen, it's not summertime.
No, we start. Sure. A lot of times our dinner consists of grilled meat and a salad kind of thing. Some veggies or the verdura gratinata three times a week.
But I've even noticed when we go over to other people's houses, it's just heavy. It's just heavier. Mm-hmm. There's less veggies. And that's because... Come summertime, that's all we... I mean, veggies are coming out of our ears. So
a big thing that happens, you'll see a lot in the winter more too, is a big pasta dish and then the meat from the pasta served afterwards.
With you know, a little salad or something. There's always winter lettuces. Canasta, a type of lettuce, survives a frost.
What about cardoon?
Cardoons are coming.
When is that?
I've been seeing them. It's usually the same time as...
I thought they were more in the spring. Or they have a long season, or...
I don't know. It seems like I see cardoons at the same time as I see artichokes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of artichokes right now.
There are a lot of artichokes around right now. I don't know if that's from Sicily. They're definitely not around here. And if they just bloom twice down there, I have no idea. But artichokes are usually May.
Yeah, but if you think about it, yeah, in Fano, every year, all winter, there's artichokes.
Artichokes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe there's a...
Well, and we were talking about doing an artichoke dish. That's one of the hard things for us doing the online cooking classes, because we were thinking, oh, let's do artichoke risotto. And then we realized, I don't know if artichokes are around in the States right now.
That's a good point for us, too. For me, planning menus, it's like, well, there's nothing around here.
I know. Come the spring, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
it's going to be really great.
Just give me another 6 weeks and there'll be tons of stuff around. But right now, it's slim pickings.
All right. Are you ready to move on to the next question?
Please.
All right. Lance, thank you for your question. What do expats do for healthcare in Italy? Do you do private health coverage or are you uncovered?
So we do not live in the third world. And Italy has state-run healthcare. Before we became residents of Italy, the first 6 months of living here.
And as part of our visa kind of package, if you will.
We had to get private insurance from the states that covered us. If you come here on – and then after that, we could start paying into the state-run healthcare system. If you come here as a tourist, you are afforded the same healthcare that the Italians are afforded. So if you fall and break your leg – you will get taken care of free of charge, blah, blah, blah. As long as you have you have to have the stamp coming through into Italy. They'll put the stamp. As long as you're inside of 90 days and you're a tourist, you will be afforded that. Now we pay into now we have our Carta Sanitaria. What do you think? You've been to the doctor more than I have.
Oh, I think it's great. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
We don't use it that much. I mean, it's not like we have health problems. So our experience versus someone who's older would probably totally differ.
Well, All I remember is that we paid a freaking arm and a leg for those 6 months of that international insurance bullshit. Like, that was some... It felt like fraud. I don't know. Then once we got here and we found out... I mean, I know you need it for the process, so I'm not saying bag out and don't do it, but... It just was it was one of those weird loopholes going, why does this matter right now?
I guess they want to make sure you become a real resident. They don't want you just coming here. They don't want you coming from America, coming to Italy, getting open heart surgery for free, and then going back to America.
It's a great idea.
But I think we've been brainwashed a little bit, North America, Americans, thinking that state-run healthcare means people dying in the streets, and it's not true, man. This isn't the third world.
Well, and that idea of uncovered and what that means. I know growing up in a, you know, working class poor family, that idea of being uncovered is a really scary word, you know, not having health insurance. So that idea out here of state run or being uncovered, I don't know. I think that there being an American, the question is formed to being an expat in Italy. And when you're an American, the idea of not having health insurance is slightly scary. What if something happens? And you
most people in America don't have health insurance.
Yeah. And what happens if you go to the doctor and how much will that cost? And those numbers start adding up in your head. So when you're in Italy as an expat or as Jason is saying, that this idea of being uncovered isn't scary. There's not also, even if you weren't covered or into the system, it's not like the...
even if you had to go to the doctor
straight out of your pocket. Yes.
It's not like it is in the States.
It's not going to be $50,000. My cousin tripped and fell, and it was something insane, like $250,000 for the doctors and the surgery.
God. Your numbers are... I don't know. I think it was 200.
Oh, no. Sorry. That was open heart surgery. Our friends in New York. Sorry. Whatever. Insane numbers. Like I said, little low on facts. Pulling numbers out of my ass.
I will say this about the hospitals and like clinics we've been to. The buildings are old. The equipment is new. The doctors are great. Also, I have to say this is a point of view from small town Italy. We have never been to the doctor in Rome or in Bologna or
in Napoli, Naples. I'm sure it's a disaster. Also, it's not a luxury stay.
No, if you get checked into the hospital, you're with a couple other people. There's no TVs. There's no, like, you're in the hospital. You're there to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the doctors take much more time with you and actually treat you like a human being. They'll touch you. They'll actually care. I don't know. It just seems like you're more of a human than just get you in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you get cancer or something, you know, you'll have to go to the cancer hospital, and there's one in Italy, and I think it's in Milan.
Right? I was thinking that too.
But you can also, if you want an MRI and you don't want to wait a month for it, you can pay for it. I mean, it's not like it's going to be $12,000 to get an MRI. It would be whatever it really should cost to get an MRI, and you just go and do it if you don't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with it.
Me neither. Let's knock on wood. I hope we don't.
It doesn't scare me at all. In fact, I think it's really simple, and I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. I don't pay insurance every month, and then go to the doctor, and they want money when I go to the doctor.
That's true. And I'll also say that the two times I've had to go to the emergency room with guests, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, for as best.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It might have been life threatening in one case and incredibly painful for the person in the other case. However, all the pleasure was on this side of the table. Doctors were wonderful. No headaches. Whit took an Australian woman and an American woman two different times to the emergency room in Urbino, and everyone was wonderful, nice, patient, and a great all around experience for having to go to the hospital.
I'm sure there's horror stories, but that's our experience.
So, moving right along. Dave has a question for you, Jason. Best time of year to visit Italy?
Well then, Dave, it depends on, in my opinion, best time to visit Italy, May and September.
Mm.
I'm not a fan of, that's not true. I love Italy in the summertime. It's absolutely gorgeous. However, as a tourist, I would think that it's going to be crowded, hot, and too many families.
Yeah, and Italians vacation in the summer too, especially in August, but I agree. September, May
and September.
Even June.
Yes, into June because school isn't out yet. May and June, you get beautiful weather. You get all the spring veggies and spring stuff to do. It's usually not that hot out yet. The kids aren't out of school, so the traffic's lighter.
And you feel like because there's not all the tourists, you get that little excitement of, I'm the only one in this restaurant speaking English. You know, those moments where you...
I don't think people want that. Oh, they do want that. Sorry. I'm the only English-speaking person in this restaurant.
Like you get those moments much more in the off-season like that. And still, like you said, having the weather be nice. The first time we came to Italy was in April, end of April into beginning of May. And it was spectacular.
There is something about a beautiful spring day that is just, it talks to summer day.
Flowers in bloom and the electric green fields.
It smells good.
Everyone's out and happy.
Yeah. It's May. May, early June is great. And also September. Kids have gone back to school. It's harvest time. There's still tomatoes. There's still...
Potatoes. Truffles are coming.
Not yet. Yes. That's middle of October. The bounty of the garden is there. The weather is beautiful. The traffic is lighter. You know, the hot has gone. But you'll still get, you'll still get in September one or two summer days in there where it's like, ooh, it's still summer's hanging on. So that is my suggestion. Also, October is a gorgeous,
Yeah, if you like the feeling of fall, like to travel where it has that little crispness to the air.
Mid-October. Gorgeous.
I would say do a freaking European road trip. Do like Italy into Bavaria. That is a gorgeous way to spend it. Part of October.
Yeah. So basically, September, May, September, October.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would include June in that because there's not the tourists in June still at all. First half of June is
July,
gorgeous
and August
weather.
Are busy and whew, crazy.
Whew, it is tight. It's a trafficy and, I don't know. It is. You'll also see
there's a certain date in September where all of Europe goes back to school. After that date, plane tickets take a nosedive in price. It'll be weird. You want to fly on the 31st of August, you'll pay almost twice as much as if you fly on the 6th of September. It's just weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of best time to visit Italy, where are some of the cool places we've traveled in Europe? Ed is curious.
Cool places we travel in Europe.
This is a great question because that's what we do in the off time season for the most part.
Let's see. Recently, Greece. We went to Greece. Love Greece.
The Peloponnese.
Then we went to the Peloponnese islands.
No, that's... Well, it's
one.
It depends on
island.
Who you talk to. It's like either one big island or part of the peninsula right there, but yeah.
Whatever. Greece, awesome.
Bavaria.
Bavaria, southern Germany, really cool. Ireland.
Ireland's awesome. I want to go back and road trip in Ireland.
I don't know why Ireland doesn't get more love. Green and beautiful. People are super duper cool and friendly.
I think because their city, if you fly into Dublin, it's been known to, what is that called? Rape tourists. That they change the prices. What's that called when you...
They gouged the tourists. They price gouged for when we went to this college football game.
And it's been said to do it for other things too. But
whatever. The Ireland's great.
It is.
Spain. Southern Spain. Barcelona. Highly recommended. Anywhere in Spain.
But I got to go back to Ireland and Scotland too for a second. I'd like to get up there a bit more. I am a sweater weather Seattle girl, and I think I could really get into that, the wetland, like the wet weather and the stone. And
when we travel, that's the not like when we travel in the winter, basically.
I know.
It's not a place I want to ever think about going in the winter. I think it'd be awesome when it's hot here. Like if you went to Ireland in August,
that would be fun, but we can't. Not while we're running the business.
We have to work for a living.
I want to go see the Northern Lights, but that's going to be freaking freezing.
Yes, very cold, very cold. Norway or Scandinavia, anywhere in Scandinavia.
I'm going to France next week, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we like to get in the car and drive part of it, too. I mean, there's this beauty of finding a 5-euro plane ticket, which blows your freaking mind, because you just think, how do they make any money? Who's paying for this flight? But I also love getting in the car and just knowing, man, you could just hit the road and you just keep driving and you could be in the Czech Republic or I don't know. It's just, it's totally wild to me.
It's a drive.
I know, but.
What else? Oh, Sicily. If you speak Italian, Sicily, you should speak a little. In southern Italy, it's probably better to, I would think, to speak a little Italian.
You're going to have a different experience for sure.
But that's really good too. Mm-hmm. I like the Southern European countries. So Spain, Greece, Italy, where everyone's real laid back. And I mean, Northern Europe's cool too. We have a lot of friends, and our good friends here are Dutch and from up there.
And we just went to Bruges. We
did go to Bruges. Bruges is a good stop.
Yeah, good food, French inspiration. Next time we go to Bruges, we're going to a place where you get to pick where your French fries are fried in. What type of oil?
What type of fat?
Fat, sorry. Oh, I can't wait for that. I've been thinking about it.
So there you go. Check out. Basically, there's a ton of great places all over Europe.
But those are some of our favorites. Jen wants to know the best and worst about living in Italy.
The best and worst about living in Italy. Should we start off with the worst?
Yeah.
Freaking Italian state. The government sucks.
Yeah, it is. It's just a bummer. Bullshit. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's just the bullshit that you have to deal with.
And it's a bummer because it's just, it goes so deep that, and so sad how you see Italy changing because of it and people leaving and younger generations moving to London or Australia to find work. And it's a drag.
Best thing about living in Italy is...
You live in Italy.
You live in Italy. Yeah, so many.
It is so true.
So the bullshit about the bureaucracy definitely is outweighed by the food and the culture and the people and the beauty and the everything.
Time.
The time, the slowdown. I mean, it's Italy. We're really blessed. We live where people dream about going on vacation. So it's true. Italy rocks.
I do. I love it.
I do too.
So that's the best part.
That's the best part. It's Italy.
It is. All right. So should we wrap it up? Oh, no. I've got a couple shout outs. Oh, my God. I almost did 2 weeks without shout outs. I want to give a serious shout out to Beth from Sarasota, Willie and Dungarvan, Waterford, Ireland. Right on.
Oh, we were just mentioning Ireland.
I know.
Go to Ireland. Ireland's beautiful.
Yes. And we have Joanne at MarketingDish.com. Wanted to say a little shout out to her as well. Thank you guys for listening and sending us your questions and shout outs. I love it. That's my favorite part, to get the emails from you guys and to hear your stories and how you found us, or I don't know. It just cracks me up because we're way out here in the middle of nowhere, and to think there's actually ears on the other end of these mics in our quiet little kitchen is wild.
We want to thank you so much for listening, and you guys are super engaged, our podcast listeners. So I can't believe it that you guys are so what's the word I'm looking
active,
for?
Active, awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and all that. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, spread the love, let them know. If you have an Italian, a person who loves Italy in your life, get them tuned in and turned on to the podcast.
Or the online cooking classes.
Or on cooking classes, or anything that Ashley puts up on Twitter, Facebook, Vimeo, Instagram.
YouTube.
Where can they find us and spell it for them? Bring
all
it
right,
home.
I'll bring it home, and then it's the song of the week. So bring it home. We got... La Tavola Marche, LATAVOLAMARCHE, and that's latavolamarche.com, info@latavolamarche.com. You can find us at latavolamarche.blogspot.com, liveFromItalyOnline.tumblr. You can find us on Instagram now, at Ashley Bartner, ASHLEYBARTNER. Mixing it up a little bit with some of those. Yes, Jason, the song of the week. This was Jason's choice this week.
So the song of the week is from Le Nozze di Figaro, The Marriage of Figaro. It is an opera. It's from the,
you might
Mozart?
Know it.
I think it's
Mozart.
Oh
man. Again with the questions.
yeah, Mozart, The Marriage. It's Mozart.
All I know is it's from, what's his name? The rabbit. Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Is it? Yes. This is Act 1, Scene 2. This is where, what's his name?
Are you going to go?
I don't really remember what it is.
Why don't you just name the song? The
Save one barare, Signor Contino.
Oh! We got Jason singing this one. It's Cavatina.
Cavatina. And he's asking, if you want to dance, my little count, and he's saying it figuratively, if you'd like to go around, I'll teach you the moves. I'll know how, but gently, best to hide the secrets by disassembling. I can discover it all, the art of fencing. I think he's telling him, if you want to fence, I'll kick your ass.
You want to dance?
He'll disassemble you. I can discover it all. The art of fencing, the arts I'll adopt. Stinging here, joking there. Oh, damn. He's going to kill him. He says, bring it.
He's saying bring it.
He is saying bring it.
This is some thug love in Nozze di Figaro.
From Mozart time?
Yeah.
Very right. Good. Well, thank you so much. We'll turn these bad boys on next week. We rambled a little bit.
We
this
did. How did we ramble while you just steamrolled through the podcast, pushing us forward?
Babe, we did 56 minutes and 44 seconds.
I could have kept going.
I know. You have diarrhea of the mouth.
I feel chatty.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Se vuoi ballare, signor Contino. Se vuol ballare, signor Contino, il chitarrino le suonerò. Il chitarrino le suonerò, sì, le suonerò, sì, le suonerò. Se vuol venire nella mia scuola, se vuol venire nella mia scuola, la cambierà, le insegnerò, sì, le insegnerò, sì, le insegnerò. So, 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 va piano. Piano, 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 piano. Meglio ogni arcano dissimulando scoprir potrò. L'arte schermendo, l'arte adoprando, di qua pungendo, di là scherzando, tutte le macchine rovescerò, rovescerò. L'arte schermendo, l'arte adoprando, di qua pungendo, scherzando, tutte le macchine rovescerò, tutte le macchine rovescerò, tutte le macchine rovescerò, rovescerò, rovescerò. Se vuol ballare, signor Contino, se vuol ballare, signor Contino, il chitarrino suonerò, il chitarrino le suonerò, sì, le suonerò, sì, le suonerò.